Welcome back to Unfiltered. I'm your co-host, Dr. Samuel J. Today, Jay and I went to Lukey Brewing. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. Jeff told us a few times while we were there. But anyhow, Jay and I went up there. We met with Jeff Smith, one of the founders, one of the owners. Interesting story, really cool place. It was a really fun conversation. We had a blast, and we will be back because Jeff is a really, really cool guy, and it's an awesome story, and they're the brewery that opened in the pandemic, if you have not heard of them. And as Jeff makes clear, don't really want to be known as that brewery, and I don't think they will be because the beer is great, the atmosphere is really cool, and the location is really special. So with that said, we're going to hand it over to Jeff, and Jay and I talking him up and hearing the story of the brewery. Thank you to everybody who offers the show your support and your listenership. We really appreciate it. If you're not following us on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, please do. You can just search for Unfiltered Craft and you'll be able to find us. You can also find us at unfilteredcraft.com. Again, we appreciate all the support and hope you're having a fantastic week. Take care. Shake it, shake it, sugary. Just don't tell them that you
it. That's been renovated, right?
Actually,
Westwoods?
The clubhouse is really nice.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't played it. This year I didn't really have time to do it.
I was playing golf.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you started a brewery in the middle of everything else,
too. Can I help you? Can you get a beer there? We're not open till 3.
Oh, you're not?
No. Sorry. we're doing a little interview.
He's
here.
In charge. Yeah. He's in charge.
We're going to trust him.
Yeah.
Come in at 3, though, right? Yeah. 3. There you go. That was perfect. That's like the best segue because we slow roll into this, and that's going to be the best introduction we've ever had.
Well, my question is, where's that guy headed next?
Oh, my gosh. I'm sure he probably dropped his wife off at the grocery store.
The parking lot.
Yeah.
He's going to sit in the car for the next 2.5 hours and wait until the sign turns to come in. We are open. Yeah. I imagine that that's what my retirement's going to look like, by the way.
Cheers. By the way, gentlemen, there we go.
Cheers.
Jay, where are we today?
Well, I'm going to butcher this. Is it Lukey? Am I saying
it?
Lukey. Lukey Brewery.
I usually get Loki or I get Lucky.
Yeah.
No. I'm not that dumb.
Loki.
I'm not that dumb.
And good sir, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Jeff Smith. I am one of the owners of Lukey Brewery, and I also brew almost all of the beer.
What's the address?
It is 14715 West 64th Avenue. We're basically at the corner of Indiana and 64th.
So to give people an idea, like what would be how far from Golden are we?
About 15, 20-minute drive.
Oh, really? Okay.
We're like halfway directly between Golden and Boulder off Highway 93.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Is that inaccurate?
I'd say that's fair.
Okay, that makes total sense.
As evidenced by the gaggle of cars racing behind me on 93, full of college-age co-eds.
93, you gotta have...
Yeah, nerves of steel.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's our version of the Autobahn.
I love it.
See
where we are now. See, I just don't spend any time up this.
You came
way,
the wrong so way. Too. Yeah, you don't get it when you come the other direction.
I need to come the other direction. Okay, so good sir, let's talk about this brewery.
Sweet.
Okay, because we're gonna ramble a little bit. Oh, I'll get into the stuff we gotta say here.
Oh,
in a
we
second.
Can.
I forgot about
always
that.
Cut
our
and
sponsors.
Paste,
okay.
The plugs.
Hold on.
Nah. Do the plugs.
Or are you gonna plug them?
Yeah, I gotta do it.
You got a hard stop, man.
No, I know, but we've got an hour. Almost.
I do love the wallpaper.
Okay. All right, you tell the story. I'll put it in there at the end.
We'll
okay,
stick
so
that up there.
You're
on.
Unique because you are almost like, I don't want to say the unicorn, but you're the brewery that opened up in the middle of the pandemic. Not before, not. I guess we're not even out of it, but in the middle of it. Yeah. So, tell us. Can you tell us the story?
Yeah, it was just good timing, bad timing. I mean, it's. We kind of get embarrassed by it sometimes because when we started the build out, I mean, we officially started demoing this place in December of last year. And this was two units. It was a Quiznos and it was a karate studio.
Okay.
And that Quiznos was absolutely disgusting. I mean, it was the owners had kind of walked off and, you know, we had always kind of made the joke of everything was still there. We could have added some bread and cold cuts and we could open a Quiznos instead
of
a brewery.
Did you get, was any of that, were you able to salvage any of that? Like, was it yours once you took the
space? If you were, please don't tell us.
Yeah.
The only thing that survived was the toasty open close sign. Okay. And for some reason, my older daughter wants to keep that in her room.
Huh. I'm not even sure.
I was always kind of like, well, wait, what? What do you want to do with this sign? But she just thought it was hilarious. So she's got this neon toasty open sign in her in her room. So
teenagers.
Good for her.
So you got the space. So you found the space. Like, why here? I guess why?
Well, we always had looked at this kind of area. I mean, obviously with the Denver metro area saturated with breweries, we wanted to do something unique. And this was even before the whole circus theme, was it's kind of like we want to go to an area that just doesn't really have that population of breweries.
Yeah.
And us being really close to new terrain, but not that close.
No, not close enough,
and then
enough,
even
right?
with Resolute to the north, mm-hmm. and that same thing, it's close, but not that close. Okay. And then really down, you know, Old Town Arvada. It's for a lot of people over here to try to go down to Old Town Arvada to do anything. It's just a pain in the ass enough.
Yeah.
It's a 20-minute drive. It's traffic. Mm-hmm. It's trying to find somewhere to park. I mean, this is even before COVID and everything.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like we had really kind of identified this kind of area. So when we started talking to brokers and looking for space and that sort of thing, we kind of had packaged this all up as going, this is what we're looking for. Okay. And really, this just fell out of the sky. I mean, I won't lie. It took 4 years between us saying we want to open a brewery and putting a plan together to here. But really, it was the location that we had waited for a year or more to finally go, sweet, here's something we can start negotiating. And here's the right kind of space. And, you know, this is what we're looking for. That kind of hole in the wall, not really worrying about distribution, just worrying about making some really good beer and having a community to support that. So
why, I guess, knowing that you, why did you want to take that approach from day one? Why did you not get into this thinking, okay, we can distribute? I'm just interested in the future of what's going to happen with craft beer across the country. And it sure seems like this model is going to succeed because of just how things work.
The distribution, it's such a, gosh, I have so much respect for people who have to play in that space all the time, because you got to think in the 4 years that we've been planning this, I mean, we kept kind of going, well, maybe in 3 years we'll go into distribution, and then all of a sudden grocery stores could carry beer.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you had the evil empire of AB InBev and all this stuff going on, and it's just kind of like you kept watching this fray going on, and you're like, nah, I don't want any part of that.
Okay.
I just, you know, we were on to make some good stuff. And, you know, it's kind of weird. We still have people come in who are like, oh, I'll take a 12-pack sampler. And it's like, nah, I ain't got that.
We don't do that.
I can give you a couple crowlers, though. And they're like, oh, but soon? I go, that's not really our gig. We really built the finances and the model behind supporting, well, 65 seats and kind of, you know, a decent patio space and going that way.
Yeah.
And that's, we're kind of sticking to our guns here. And, you know, like I said, we started the build out in December. We were, you know, more than halfway through the build out when March came, and it truly was a, oh shit. And you had to make some decisions there. And the biggest one being, let's just keep doing it and we'll kind of shoestring this together and almost go week by week and kind of make this up as we go.
Did you guys slow down at all in March, April, or did construction continue and you
really
stayed on track?
Construction was allowed to continue.
Okay.
So we were good with being able to push forward. It just got a little more challenging. You know, the city to do building or to do inspections and stuff like that. It was just those little, we're like, oh, wait, somebody's got to come out.
We're not doing inspections in person, so you're going to have to wait 9 to 12 months. I've heard that story a couple of times. Or we're going to do it via Zoom.
Yeah.
Was it good, I guess, that the Quiznos was here in terms of the build-out with, like, sprinklers?
Oh, absolutely.
So
we
that
didn't
was
have to worry about sprinklers.
Okay.
I mean, it was really about just moving some of the heads around.
Right.
I mean, even from the concrete, I mean, where the bathrooms are now are actually where the bathrooms were for the Quiznos. So, I mean, all the real plumbing work that we had to do is more on the back half of the building for the brew house. And
this is probably the one of the most, like, top three most beautiful breweries I've ever been to.
They did a hell of a job, didn't they?
This is really just, I mean, but it is
Shane's
beautiful.
Not going to sponsor the show.
No. Shout out to Shane, by the way, okay? So you started the build out in December. Do you have more questions? Sorry.
No. Before. I was going to say, I mean, we're talking about how beautiful it is. Let's talk about the circus thing. I didn't even catch. No, I'm just kidding. That's. I mean,
what does the name mean? Key, right? And then what's the connection to the? What's the name mean?
So
and why
it's
the circus?
Kind of funny. Is the way the name versus the theme have absolutely nothing to do.
That makes me feel a little
absolutely
bit better.
Absolutely nothing. Okay. And really, the joke that just will never die is that Lukey is actually a combo of my kids' nicknames. It's Lulu and Kiki, and it's great that they're teenagers now and they have to be assaulted with this all the time.
Yeah, because they probably hate their nicknames too, right?
At this point, you know, because a parent will be here and their kid will know about it, and then all of a sudden they get texted going, "What's up, Lulu?" And she goes, "You got me again."
Oh, man.
But really, it came down to my wife and I when we started getting serious about homebrewing again years ago, and they were like tiny little kids. I mean, every home brewer that really gets going again always has to do a label. So you make a label, and we're like, what works? Lukey, that works. That's a combination of their nicknames. And it was just something that stuck over the longest time. So
it's a good thing for kids, too. Like, knowing when you're doing, when they did it, too, like as you were home brewing and they were young, we got kits from the Brooklyn, Brooklyn Beer Shop during COVID. We were making beer
during COVID.
My kids are daughters are 7 and 5, and it was just cool to be able to like brew with them. It's a science project, I guess, is what I'm saying.
They have all along with us to the point now where, because them being 16 and 13, they know how to brew.
That's awesome.
They could do it.
They're part of the tradition
tell,
now.
I'm like, where's my carboy? Wait a minute, where did this go?
Yeah.
They're making beer for
you gotta
their friends.
Watch a little bit closer now.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait a minute, you guys know what you're doing. And all of a sudden, you know, my daughter will whip out a barrel-aged triple sign.
Oh,
like,
my
no, no, no.
God.
Coolest teenager in school. Yeah. That Quiznos sign is the least of your problems.
You know that she has friends, like, wherever she goes to college, we're following.
Yeah,
because,
no shit.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about buying beer. We're just going to, it's not like dad's counting, you know, too much. So,
Something tells me dad's counting pretty closely. So Lukey's been around for a while.
For a while. So now the circus thing was truly when we started thinking about breweries. And we were just kind of, what do we want to do for a theme? And it's something that we had been tossing around for a while because there's a family aspect to the circus, which I'll get to. But, you know, we started looking at the brewery and what are you going to be that's different? And it's always reclaimed lumber or industrial look or all of this same kind of thing all the time. So we were like, well, you know, what would be different? And it was staring us right in the face because my great-great-grandmother and great-great-grandfather were in the Ringling Brothers Circus in the 1920s.
That's so cool. Shit.
Now, they didn't do anything super exciting. My great-great-grandmother was Mademoiselle Chloe. She had rode elephants and was like the snake lady, and we've got I literally have a photo album that's 100 years old.
And
it's got
so
all of these photos
amazing.
In it of her with some of these like well-known, but these acts that I guess you could say they have a Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
So you go to a Wikipedia page and here's Major Might, you know, the smallest man in the world. And then all of a sudden you go to this photo album and there's a picture of your grandmother with him. You're just kind of like, what?
As a kid, did you know this? Like,
no, and I think that's kind of the thing that I know we're kind of bummed about is that as time went on, so my great-great-grandmother and grandfather were in the circus, and then they had a kid. My grandfather was in the circus too, but then when my dad and his two brothers were born, they got out of the circus.
Okay.
So it was kind of like, it was like this, I don't want to say this dark time, but there was this time that they never wanted to talk about.
They never talked about it.
No.
Huh?
So,
wow.
when they finally passed away, I mean, it was literally like this. You open these boxes and you go, what the
holy
shit,
shit.
Is
are
this?
You kidding? You guys, until somebody passed away, you didn't have a clue.
Kind of like, we had nobody to talk to, nobody to do anything to. And I mean, here's fun fact, the last name Smith. We have no idea because we found 3 birth certificates with different last names on it. And you just kind of go, what?
That's insane.
So you have no idea why they left the circus?
No.
None of that. What did they end up doing after they left?
They maybe went into brewing in the long run.
Yeah.
There's got to be this twisty, turny.
No cool connection like that. But my grandfather became a police officer. They moved out to California and... I mean, they were originally in East Coast, in New Jersey, and New York, and they moved out to California and started the new life in the, you know, early 30s. So it's just kind of, yeah. We always talk about is, you know, we did the DNA thing, and we did Ancestry.com. And we
You'd have to after stuff. All that.
And it's kind of like, we've had some really weird hits with that. And right before we opened on our Instagram page, we had a woman reach out to us and say, hey, I think that my great aunt is your, you know, whatever that connection was. And she sent some notes, and I had to fact check it. I sent my dad a note. I was like, have you ever heard of this Uncle Hank guy? And my dad texted back, oh, yeah, Uncle Hank used to pick me up at the airport.
Oh, jeez.
I was like,
that's crazy.
What? So here was, like, this family that we didn't know we had in Colorado Springs that just out of nowhere is like, we know who that is. Frieda Smith is our, like, great aunt something or other. And it was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Was so, this mean, happening as you were planning to open the brewery?
Yeah, this was.
So I you mean, just opened
that,
up a Pandora's box.
That happened like literally almost a week or two before we opened the brewery.
Well, no wonder you had to go with the circus theme.
Well,
I mean,
that's
it
that's,
seemed like it was.
It seemed like it would fit.
Yeah.
I think when we started getting into it, the big nervous this the nervous piece that we had for doing the circus was going to be, is it going to look like Casa Bonita? Or is it going to have like this cool retro flow to it?
Yeah.
I think that's where we were just like,
no,
not a
you
lot
guys
of like
did,
angry clowns and bright lights and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
No, it's very classic.
Nobody in here juggling, swallowing
well, not
swords.
Well,
yeah,
juggling
yeah.
would be
we
cool.
We want to do stupid human tricks night. We just got to, you know, wait until COVID's over to
that
really
would be...
Although you might get some of the best tricks now.
Who designed your logo? Because it's so awesome. Not the Bushwood CC.
So we kind of packaged the whole story up, and we gave it to 88 Design Group, who's they're like the design arm of Grandstand that does a lot of merchandise for breweries and stuff like that. And they loved the story, and they took it and ran with it. I think they even won like it was like the Crushies or something. It was some like marketing award or something for the logo. So
for your logo,
yeah, for our logo, I was like, high five!
You guys are just
doesn't
like,
mean anything for us, but high five!
Still, that's something to write about, right? I mean,
it's a pretty big deal. Do you okay? So we're obviously going to bounce everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
That's too late to be ordered.
Because of the time when you opened, do you think you got less publicity than you might have? You know, say you opened during a normal year, because again, this place is so unique. It's so different.
I don't know that we necessarily got less publicity. It was just different. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the one thing that carrying forward, it's like, I don't necessarily want to be the brewery that opened during COVID.
Sorry, I keep saying
that. No, it's cool. But I mean, also it's that, you know, then some people go, oh, the circus brewery. And I go, yeah, I guess that's okay. At the end of the day, I'm like, just come drink a beer.
It's not tacky at all.
I don't know that I'd leave here labeling this mentally as the Circus Brewery. And the name stands out far more unique than the Barnum and Bailey poster. I mean, you guys did a good job. It's classic. It's tasty. Tasty. Tasteful.
Well,
it's tasty, too.
The best part is when people go to the bathroom, we've got those funhouse
mirrors. Cool mirrors.
That's cool. That's a nice touch.
I didn't even have to walk past them, and I caught myself standing in front. So,
I mean, you can do those kind of tiny little things that keep it not tacky, you know, to keep it tasteful. So, do you have more questions?
Any plans for a big top out front as we approach winter and the new COVID restrictions? I mean, it just seems like
perfect. That would be so awesome.
Wouldn't that be sweet?
But I think, you know, and I'm sure a lot of other breweries would probably say the same thing. It's kind of like you really got to weigh how much is this going to cost to put that out there? And is it really going to draw people?
Yeah.
I mean, in our limited experience here, it's kind of like we can have these nice fire pit tables and all this stuff, but that's good to keep people here. But when it's really cold outside, people go, nah, I ain't going nowhere. I'm just going to hold out and
that
warm under my blankie.
Weather comes whipping off the mountains here, too. Pretty nasty right across 64th. I mean, it was a frickin' snowstorm the night before the tournament I was up here for a couple of weeks ago. So,
but I mean, again, we've talked about this on the show several times over the last 3 months. Colorado's more poised to stay open. Their breweries are more poised to stay open, I mean, over winter than a lot of states in the Midwest. Are you happy about how you face? Because, I mean, you're getting a lot of sunlight in here. You can definitely,
No,
you know.
I mean, like, I think this is a great week.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, for whether it was our release yesterday or other weird events going on, is We were packed yesterday.
Okay.
And people were here when they had the fire pits going. But it's also, I mean, when the high is like 72 in the middle of the day and, you know, at 8 o'clock it's still 55 degrees out. I mean, that's Colorado for you. Mm-hmm. People just, they don't mind bundling up and pounding a couple of beers and having a good time.
Yeah, for sure.
Take advantage.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us your story, not just the brewery story, but I mean, how did you get here? How did you get into brewing?
So I'd say I got into brewing in college, and it was late college. I mean,
where'd you go to school?
Went to CU.
Okay.
I started in 91, so I've been around a little while. And I remember when New Belgium, my first craft beer was Bomber of Fat Tire.
He listens to the show.
Dude, yeah, I was going to say, dude stole
a
our
Bomber of Fat Tire.
Bomber of Fat Tire. And I remember walking around the dorm thinking I was king shit because I'm drinking out of a Bomber.
I haven't even seen a Bomber.
Wow, that's
I don't know if they do it anymore.
Oh, my God.
No, that's awesome.
No, that's pretty impressive. That's no
pretty,
judgment here.
Pretty rad.
At
yeah.
all.
So, yeah, so, I mean, that was really the entry. That was the, you know, all that New Belgium had to offer. And from there, it was, you know, what was in Boulder. It was Boulder Beer Company. It was Oasis Brewing when they were right off of Walnut. It was, I mean, Walnut Brewing was right there. I mean, that was, I kind of grew up on that, you know, maybe when I was under 21 and, you know.
We don't know any cops.
Yeah.
So you've got, I mean, you've got a pretty long-term
It's
relationship
kind of,
with
it's
craft
kind of
beer.
That old school with craft beer.
Yeah.
And I met my wife right at the same time. So we grew up in that kind of craft beer culture together. Is that it was, I mean, to this day, Heavenly Days' raspberry wheat is like one That's of awesome. My absolute favorites. And when we opened, we had a raspberry wheat because I was like, you know what? That's kind of the thing I want to do.
Got to do it.
You know, so. That's kind of where it had started, and right before I entered the real world, I worked at a place in Boulder called the Beer Store, and it was one of those places where people could come, and you could give them recipes, and they'd kind of almost homebrew at the store, and it was like a fifth, you know, full kegs worth, so they could come, you'd teach them how to do the whole thing, and, you know, they'd come back 2 weeks later and actually, you know,
tap their own
brew and take it home, so it was
kind
of... I worked at that place, and that's where I really learned some of the brewing stuff. I mean, of course, I was like the new guy, so I was in charge of cleaning kegs. So,
but,
yay, take stems out of kegs. You know, that's a
look
fun
at
day.
Where it got you now.
Yeah,
though.
I can look back at that with some level of pride.
So, I mean, we don't talk about this enough. You were that age where you weren't going into college necessarily drinking shitty beer. It was very much because of where you were, because of the environment you were in, because
of... Oh, I drank
where
a lot of shitty beer.
I was going to say, he did go to CU.
Yeah, okay. I probably still do. I mean, I remember the rumors of, you know, Keystone was just Coors flushing the pipes after they cleaned it.
Oh.
I mean, that was the urban legend of what Keystone was, and it was kind of like, somebody bought a bunch of Keystone, I don't care, I'm drinking it.
I mean, it's got alcohol in it. No.
Pipe cleaner or not, right?
Yeah, exactly. Shit'll get you drunk, as we used to say.
Hey, I got it firsthand from a Coors employee just on Sunday. So there's no denying that there's a certain purpose for Keystone and Keystone Light.
It's good. It's good. The stone. But you've always had this relationship to craft beer, obviously.
Yeah.
That it's not something that came on later in life, but your formative years, right?
Yeah,
I mean, college
so,
is.
I mean, that was kind of what it's always was, and then, you know, again, when my kids were little, it was one of those YouTube things where it's like, if you like this video, you should try this.
You got to be kidding me.
And I clicked on it, and it was like, hey, we sell these home brewing kits. I was like, man, I haven't done this forever.
Okay.
I just got to buy this kit.
That's amazing.
And the minute I bought the kit, all of that, like, juju from when I was in my, you know, early 20s came back, and I was just like... No, we're going to do this the right way. So then I just, I mean, like any kind of hobby, you can spend a lot of money on it really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it just came back, and it was my wife and I, and we were brewing a batch probably every 2 weeks. And
it was just
obsessive about it. We had no plan to open a brewery at that point. It was just getting back into it and scratching that itch that we didn't know we had for, you know, 15 years while we were in the professional land.
The real
and you're
land.
Brewing for almost 10 years, it sounds like, before you get to this point. So you're brewing at home, building up steam, so to speak, putting more money into the project, obviously, making it the best you can in the garage or the basement, and then
Weirdly enough, it was Cannonball that made me realize that we could do this, because I was working for a company down in, I was actually commuting from my house in here down to Sedalia. So I was driving.
Every day?
Every day.
Wow.
Oh my God.
So I'm driving back and forth, and this was what, 7-8 years ago, when I was driving by and I saw Cannonball open. And I went, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
So it was pretty much a little bit from there, and I pulled in, and I was like, what? I mean, I didn't know about dry dock and, you know, some of the trailblazing that they had done from that tap room model. But I saw this, and I was like, this is awesome. You don't have to worry about food. Holy, you know, I mean, it just, that's when I started, that's when the gears started turning, and it was just like, we got to do something like this. And, you know, and then life gets in the way, and you go, that's just a pipe dream. I'm not going to worry about that.
Yeah,
but
it's...
it keeps gnawing on you a little bit. And then more and more tap rooms, you get more, you see it, all of a sudden you're paying attention to it, and you're going, you know, I got the business background, and I'm a mechanical engineer, and I kind of know this stuff. I was like, I'm not saying I can do this, but I'm saying I can take a pretty damn good shot at it. Let's see what happens. So it was, obviously it was 2016.
Wow,
when I'm flying back and forth to Minneapolis and some other places, and it was just kind of like, you can only do so much real work when you're traveling like that, that I just started noodling in spreadsheets and going, all right, no distribution. No, I mean, it's just like, how can the numbers work to just support a smaller tap room? How big of a system? What do you need to do? What are all the little pieces and parts you got to put together to actually make this work? And that's just, that's how it started.
I wouldn't even say this is a smaller tap room, personally. I mean, this is a pretty, I mean, you said you're ready for 65 seats.
We really squeezed as much as possible of how small of a brew house could we operate in, how small of a tap room could we operate in, and the rest is cooler space.
And what can we maximize?
Yeah, exactly. And what can we do from a capacity and really being able to do stuff? And that's where I look at those who came before me, and I have so much respect. For like a great example to me is like New Image. Mm-hmm. And I love what they did is they had a really tiny space and they made that work. And then as it grew, they went with their production space. And I'm kind of like, I'm not saying I ever want to do that, but it's kind of like there was some good thinking and good steps that were put into place there to say, okay, if one brand happens to catch fire, what do you do with it? And, you know, that sort of thing. So it's kind of...
You're eating the elephant one bite at a time.
We truly made this up as we go.
Well, you guys are in a, I mean, you've said it, you were in kind of a beer desert, but you also are surrounded by some pretty damn good role models.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're driving by Cannonball Creek on a regular basis, I imagine that, you know, stealing a page or two out of somebody's playbook in the area probably isn't a bad thing. I mean, at least you weren't watching a shitty brewery evolve over time and stealing from
and then going,
their moves.
How are they doing so well?
How are they?
And then 6 weeks later, you're like, oh, I get it now. They're fucking dying on the vine.
Who knew? What was the conversation? I mean, obviously, the wife was a part of this. The family, the girls were a part of this from the very beginning, not just opening up, but even before that. What was the conversation like with your wife when you decided to not just do the spreadsheets on the plane, but to actually sign the lease?
How do you feel about me quitting my day job and you keep working for medical insurance?
Okay.
She was like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I mean, she has really been an equal partner with this. And I mean, she still does her day job, and I don't know how I twisted her arm to do it, but she manages the tap room.
No kidding.
So awesome.
And then she really, really says, she's like, you're going to brew on Saturday or Sunday so that I can do it too? I go, yes, we can do it on the weekend.
Okay.
Now,
she is just as knowledgeable. I mean, two or three of the recipes, those are completely her recipe. She is a knowledgeable beer fan and brewer herself. So.
And your kids are kind of that age where they don't want to be around you anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
My daughter turned 16 middle of July, and I haven't had time to try to go get her some kind of car, so I don't have a car.
Hey, can you drop me off at the brewery on the way to your date?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Thank you. Oh, that's too funny.
That is funny. I don't know what I'm all over the map here.
Okay, so 4 years of planning, 4 years trying to figure this out.
Yep.
But tell us, as you're brewing, what made you think that you could make beer that was good enough to sell over the bar like this?
Nothing. I was absolutely terrified.
Really?
Absolutely terrified. I mean, all I could possibly go against is that our homebrewing career, I mean, and I think most homebrewers are like this, you start off and you make a whole bunch of beer that you want to drink, and then you get bored. And one thing happens. You either stop homebrewing or you get into other things. You find other things that kind of get you excited, maybe competitions or something like that. We took the homebrewing as literally more of that, hey, what do you like? I want to try to make that. Because it was really more forcing into styles that maybe I had never heard of before or something like that. And we were just so addicted to it, you'd buy a commercial example to calibrate against and brew it and try the two of them and go, oh my God, that sucked. I got to try this again. and just keep going over and over it again. And that's really where we came from. So we've always been our harshest critic with that. So when it came time to open the brewery, and it literally was a, oh my, is this going to suck? Is this going to be? And I mean, we brought every single one of the friends that we knew who had absolutely, you know, no filter on and was just kind of like, yeah, this may suck. This one's really good. This one's really good. This one probably needs some work. So it was kind of that, it's good. We needed some of that feedback. And I mean, I didn't sleep for the 3 days up to opening just because it was kind of like, what if my beer sucks?
What was it like coming in, sorry, but as an outsider, after, I mean, for the last few weeks, we've talked to a lot of people who are, you know, brewers at Mountainside, you're an outsider.
Oh, yeah.
So, what's that experience been like?
It's intimidating, but it's also at the same time, it's kind of fun because, and this kind of goes into that professional career I had for a while, is it's like, I'm going to ask the question. People go, oh, you need to have XYZ. And I go, why? I go, that's because that's where I did it over here. Yeah. You go, but why were they doing it? I was like, I don't want to buy an air compressor. I just want to run it off of the nitrogen and the CO2. No, you need an air compressor. Air compressors suck. I don't want one. You know, and I was like, I'm going to try it anyway. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, that didn't really cost me much and it works awesome.
Just fine.
And I don't have to listen to an air compressor all day. So, I mean,
that's a good point.
That's been kind of the fun part where it's just kind of like you make it up as you go because you don't have people going, that's not how you should do it.
Yeah.
You know, but then at the same time is it's kind of like, you know, we want to be part of that community. We want to be part of the camaraderie of the brewing industry. And it's kind of like, I don't know anybody. And not only do I not know anybody, we're in the middle of a weird pandemic, which keeps me from actually going to go, hey, how you doing? Because everybody's busy. Everybody's in that turtle mode of, I just got to get through until this thing is done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're really no different, but it's kind of like, well, we'll get there. You know, but it's still, it's terrifying. There's some decisions I make still now, even though we're 4 months in, that I kind of go, ooh, boy, I'd really like to have somebody to ask this question to, but I think I'll fuck it all up and try it again.
Holy shit, that's a really good point. You were meant to ask a question, sorry. We're so much better on Zoom because we can message each other.
I know what I was going to ask, and this backs up a little bit, but you said you couldn't sleep for a couple of days, and you guys had never really done anything other than home brewing. How much ramp up time did you have to get acclimated to your new system, and how much brewing were you doing before?
Very little. So, I mean, we were kind of messing around with the system beforehand, and I mean, you got to remember the timing here. So, we started demo in December, and we were doing the build out, and then our equipment delivered April 1st, which is just hilarious.
Yeah, that's nerve-wracking.
So we had all the stuff in, and it was pretty much ready to go, and we were sitting there saying, well, I might as well mess around with the system, but this is all kind of, I have no idea what's going to happen with it. So we didn't really take it too serious. It's more like learning the equipment, that sort of thing. And then it was end of May when all of a sudden they decided to open things back up, and that's when it was kind of, and you got to back up a little bit, as part of our business plan was, I was going to hire somebody who knew what they were doing.
Okay.
I was going to do this, and I was like, I'll be the brew, you know, guy to just, you tell me what to do. I'll be the assistant guy, and you do all of the hard work. But because of COVID, it was kind of like, well, we made that decision of, we're just going to do it ourselves.
Holy shit.
So you're really the only brewer.
Yeah.
You and your wife.
My wife and I, yeah. So it was kind of like we made that decision in around April that we were like, you know, fuck it, we got this. It was kind of like the ownership group is my wife, myself, my dad, my mother-in-law.
Okay.
So it was kind of like, in a way, it was easy to answer to because it was just family and,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah,
family.
You don't have any board or anybody telling
that's,
you.
That's what I mean. So it was kind of like we kind of took that leap of faith to going, we got this. So, you know, the very next week after Polis opened things up, we brewed officially and said, here we go, let's do it. And we brewed 5 batches of beer. We filled our 5 fermenters up and we absolutely hoped for the best. And I would say 3 of them were out of the park. 2 of them were good enough.
You could sell them.
I was happy enough with them. And then, I mean, we went to open and it was literally, I don't have staff. So it was my wife and I behind the bar serving beer. And that was it.
It was
my dad and it was my mother-in-law who were doing the COVID thing of cleaning tables.
Oh,
and
my God.
That is how we rolled in July. And I am glad I don't remember any of it because that was the worst month and awesomest month ever. Because it was just kind of like...
What'd you learn that month?
I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I learned that people are weird.
Explain.
It took till July of COVID to pull that out.
You really have faith in humanity.
Really, truly, like, you'd have people who were obviously older coming to us and to prove a point with the mask wear, like, fishnet stockings. And you just look at them and you go, really, dude? Really?
Yeah.
And his wife had a mask and she's just, you could see her, she's red. And
mortified.
Come on, man.
I wonder if that was my father-in-law. That sounds... Maybe he has been here.
Probably was, for sure. Were you dealing with a lot of assholes?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit unfortunate because I leaned on my older daughter to kind of help, too, with some of the service. And but, I mean, she just got shit on all the time.
Oh,
and after about 2 weeks in, she was just like, I'm out. I was like, I get it. I was like... I've been out there and I had to yell at people who were yelling at her. And it's just like,
wow,
that's not cool.
Yeah. What?
Come on.
Yeah.
No wonder you don't have a car.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
She feels like she earned it.
Mid-July. It was like 2 weeks in and she was like, Dad, give me your keys and I'll see you when I see you.
I'm never fucking coming back.
Family operation.
I've been through that. So you kind of alluded to early on, it was rough, but if things plateaued, if things mellowed out from a customer standpoint?
July was rough, but toward the end of July, and it's mainly because we were able to get some staff and some servers, and I got some help back in the brewery and that sort of thing. So it's kind of like we were able to kind of move forward a little bit and actually have some stability now that it's kind of like, sweet, I don't have to be here for 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now it's only 8 hours a day
for
7 days a week. But I mean, that's it was good experience because, you know, it's one thing when you go, well, this is how it's going to work.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, well, it's not somebody else you're going to put in place to have to make that work. It's like, you got to step up and make that happen. So, I mean, even between serving and brewing and cleaning the place up and doing all of this stuff, it was just kind of like, yeah, we're gonna figure this out. We're just gonna take it a day, a week, or whatever at a time and make it happen.
Did you ever have those days or those nights where you two were laying in bed and saying to each other, what the fuck did we just do?
Oh yeah, all the time.
I mean, were there tears?
I would still say it sometimes happens that way. But at least now it's more the point of, I can't believe this place was busy today. What the hell?
Yeah.
What magic sauce do we have?
That's amazing.
Have you seen it stay pretty consistently busy? I mean, are you happy with what the
the
numbers
really,
look like?
I mean, and Fridays and Saturdays, I mean, like many places, that's the go-to. I mean, it's really good.
Awesome.
Mondays have been Monday. And we're sitting there going, winter hours, maybe we should back out of that one.
Yeah.
Or something along those
lines. Are you turning away the geriatrics at 12:30, 12:45 on a regular basis, or is that
I would say the worst part is, I mean, God bless Big O Tires over here, but people drop their car off.
That's a good point.
And you see them walking over here like, yeah,
they're super excited.
The brewery, and then they get this close and they go, oh shit, they're not open.
I used to drive out of my way to the Ford dealership off Broadway to get my oil changed, and it would take 3 hours every time. I didn't give a shit. because 38 State Brewing was right across the street. And Tanya would be like, why is this taking so long? And I'm like, hey, I'm not the guy changing the oil, but what do you want me to do? Are you
going to
drive over with me? Yeah, you going to come get me? And she'd be like, no, don't worry about it.
So then it happens. I mean, I had the one time where, you know, I had the door open because it's still summertime and I'm trying to get some stuff done. A woman comes in and she is pissed that I don't have cider or wine. She is pissed.
And you're not even open.
Yeah, no, I have tables or, you know, chairs around the tables, and I'm like, what?
What are you supposed to? It's a brewery.
Yeah, I was like, there's a big word brewery on the side of the building. She's just like, obviously she needed to get her drink on. God bless
poor
her.
Poor thing, yeah.
A little church wine next door if you really need it.
No kidding, my Jesus. Word. That is okay, so what are you doing let's talk marketing and events.
Wait,
and what,
let's talk marketing, because I want to come back to branding.
Do we need a beer here?
We might, but actually that's why I'm asking too. Tell us about these.
Let's do another beer because then I can read the copy.
Okay.
Yeah, because I have it. Yes. Okay.
While you guys are grabbing beers real quick.
I hear something blowing back.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
It's making me a little
nervous. Yeah, you got to do it.
We know it's not a compressor.
For sure. And on that, we'll stop real quick and give a shout-out to the Morgan Adams Foundation and to our friends who are hosting the Colorado Chili Booze and Brews Fest. You can now get your passport. You can get your ticket. Everything's up and running. And you can join Jay and I for an awesome six-week adventure to celebrate Colorado's best and most unique chili, beer, and spirits for what they are calling the ultimate throwdown. Now, it's a competition, right? They're going to have a chili competition. I've asked you this before.
It is a competition, yeah. Okay. At the end of it, ultimately, you're supposed to vote for your best favorite, most tasty beer, chili, whiskey.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, there's typically a winner.
So is the chili usually good?
The chili is usually amazing.
So that's okay then. You say you're fine.
That's an okay noise.
There's not a...
See, that's how I learn these things.
Yeah. Hey.
It's learning.
Do you wear a body cam for that kind of stuff, Jeff?
You could remember it. So basically, things were up and running now. It's the 4th of November. It'll be the 5th when you listen to this. Let's see if we'll have a president, actually, when you listen to this. And it goes towards until December 13th. You can get your passport. You'll be able to access food, beverage deals from participating contenders across this great state of Colorado. Passport holders will also have access to opportunities to win prizes through participation and engagement, and we'll also have access to special offers only available by purchasing your CBB passport. So if you collect whiskey glasses or pint glasses, this is definitely the event for you. You can get that $90 VIP passport as well as all the swag that you need at chiliboozeandbrews.com. Learn more at the Instagram page if you're on the Instagram at chilibooseandbrews. Passports are on sale. Get all the information you need. And once again, thank you to the Morgan Adams Foundation. Monkey business, please.
Pause for a breath.
Beer. Yes, I know. I mean, my father was in radio for a long time. He didn't teach me well enough, though. Yeah, he was his. And when I was in FFA in high school, this was my competition. I had to read the Ag Futures. That was my competition. It wasn't showing like a sow or something.
You didn't wrestle the sheep down to the ground?
No. I mean, one of these days we're going to have a unfiltered craft trivia because I was actually president of my high school FFA chapter. How about that? Yes. And I was in 4-H, Jay. I did it all.
It's always, I don't ever know. Is that the same one you had earlier, Sam?
No, this is different, right? Didn't I get the, Firewalker.
That's earlier. Right, you did.
Yes. High ABV beer.
Yeah, it is.
It's the only way to go.
The opposite direction.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of us assumed that the election would be over at midnight last night, so we drank for a solid 12 hours.
Brian Bierman did not think.
No, we're not even, I mean. It's pretty clear. The picture is pretty clear now, but still.
Hey, Biden just won Wisconsin in like the last 5 to 10 minutes.
I know.
So.
Trump already announced he's going to challenge it.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know.
Hey,
I know.
Because 2020 has to end on a. You know, that's probably the one thing that's disappointing is that forever everybody's going to go, 2020 was such a dumpster fire. And I'll be like, oh, that's the year we opened.
You'll be the bright spot, though, for sure.
Yeah, you're going to be the Eeyore of...
gosh.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, brand, marketing, all that.
Yeah. Let's get into what are you doing about glasses? No, yeah. Wait, hang on. Oh, I want to talk about glasses.
Yes.
And then I ordered a new beer, and it came out in a totally different glass. But so my line of questioning maybe holds no water at this point, but... This glass is fucking cool.
That is so cool.
It looks, it looks like a keg. It looks like a barrel that an elephant would roll on. Yeah, a circus barrel.
See, so here's where, they're making me nervous.
You're good. Oh, sorry. I was glad you were Jeff's worried about the sound.
Jeff's dad is in the back. And
that's funny.
No, it was, sometimes it's just weird shit luck. And, I talked about 88 Design Group, and they designed our logo and some of the thematic elements we have. And so I'm on the Grandstand website, and I'm just scrolling through. Here's all their glassware, and it's a stock item for them.
This is not new for you. This is something that they had.
Yeah, this is literally just a stock item. And I went, holy shit.
It screams.
It's like a touchdown.
Yeah.
I was just like, wow. What?
What do you even call that glass? What's the?
The Lukey barrel is what you call it.
Barrel cooler or something like that. And it's funny because you read about the bio of the glass and they go, it's perfect for serving those barrel aged beers to be thematic. And I went, no, it's not. It's circus. Fuck you.
Fuck yeah, it's perfect. No, it's not barrel aged.
They love you as a client, I bet. Now at this point,
yeah, they kind of do. And I mean, unfortunately, there was a mask. I don't have it. And I told them, I was like, for opening day, I want this I actually wanted like a clown face. I was like, but you got to do it the right way. I was like, I want Krusty the Clown. I don't want Pennywise the Clown. So they're like, all right, we got you. So they came up with a design. I thought it was cool. And we got in and it's really borderline between the two of them.
Oh my God.
So they kind of were like, hey, we want a picture with the clown mask. Can you send something? So I quickly threw the mask on. And I have this top hat back there as a gimmick. So
I wondered if there was a top hat.
And I put the thing on, and I took a quick selfie in the bar. And then all of a sudden, it became on their front page of Grandstand.
Oh, my God.
Here's masks and stuff like that. And I went, oh, for the love of God, I'm tired of looking at this.
That's this thing.
Luckily, it's not on the front page anymore.
Oh, damn. We were going to put a link to it. We're going to still put a link to it.
Yeah, we should.
We have to.
It's out there somewhere.
It's on there.
I've... it's one of those things that once you start embarrassing yourself, you might as well just lean hard into
it. Yeah, do it. Own it.
What are you doing for marketing? What are you doing to get people in here? Obviously, location's important.
Yeah,
we're
I hate to say we're all over the place, but we kind of have been. I mean, the whole thing about this all along has been event-driven, and that really went to shit because of obvious reasons. I mean... We had this opening day envision. You talk about tents. It's like we had this great parking lot. We wanted to do like a nice big tent and have all of this, do that kind of gimmicky stuff.
Yeah.
Let still people come in here and go, okay, that's out there. Or this is in here. Yeah. And we had all of these ideas, but it was like all of a sudden you got to backpedal from it and go, all right, here's this awesome list of all of these crazy events you can do. What can we water down and kind of make as a... just an event that's still safe and do stuff. And like a great example is we have our Lego nights that we do twice a month.
I'm jacked already. What does that mean?
So we've got, I bought these boxes of Lego of like basic Lego. It's like 500 pieces and it's just a box and we do with like a theme.
It's the Costco Lego box.
Yeah, pretty much. So then like this past week we did Halloween, but 2 weeks ago we had to do Eddie Van Halen just because.
R.I.P.
Van Halen. And it's kind of like we let everybody do it. We're just kind of like team up the four, grab one of the box. These boxes have been like sanitized, so we do it in between.
Oh, so it's like a contest almost.
Yeah, so people can do it, and they build a Lego, and you put your entries out here on the table, and whoever's got the best entry, boom, you get $20 gift certificate.
I love it.
Yeah, that's such a great
idea.
Sounds
like a rough drive home at that point, but
it ties in so well to the circus.
No, it's amazing.
Like,
I love it.
The circus, at least when I was a kid, I would see my parents get excited about it. Right? Like a circus is something that you can do your entire life. It brings out the inner kid in you. Legos are now that thing with my own kids at home.
We went every year to the circus. Yeah. So yeah. Legos, I've spent more on Legos for myself in the last
no shit.
5 days. No kidding. No kidding. I told Brian the other day they got to figure out a way to shut down the Amazon app while I'm supposed to be working.
What are you buying?
I'll show you my Amazon.
It's all your Star Wars shit,
isn't it? It's all Star Wars Legos,
Exactly.
Jeff, is your wife raising a lion at home? That's what I really want to know. I mean, you keep talking about events, and you've got the top hat. Well, you're not a lion.
What's really happening?
You don't look like a lion. I mean,
No.
There's no...
I got more of the elephant direction.
Okay. I keep seeing the monkey looking over your shoulder.
Well,
and
that's
I,
Mojo the monkey. And that's a Simpsons reference.
I imagine there's a monkey someplace, or a lion, or... Yeah, elephant's tough to hold on to, but...
We're Sideshow Bob.
We just scroll right... Ooh, that'd be...
Like a sideshow.
That's usually what the dad is for.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, Dad, I need you to wear these big shoes. The funny thing about Sideshow Bob is...
Get the bone in my hair.
He actually... Sideshow Mel. Whole foot.
Kelsey Grammer, Sideshow Bob, right?
For a while,
All right. Is he not anymore?
Oh, I don't know. He still is.
Simpsons are more relevant now than they probably ever have been. Have you watched?
It's that whole predictor thing.
Yes.
Predicted everything.
Oh, my God. What happens... Are you done with questions?
I'm always done.
What happens now? What happens, as we get into winter, as we go into spring, what are the conversations that you're having with your investors, known as your family?
Dad, we're going to have to let you go. But you're going to have to keep working for free.
It's been a good ride, but, you know, I still need this help. So.
Yeah.
It's we had such a great start. July, really through October, has been fantastic. So we're ready to kind of bunker down for the winter. It's kind of like, we're still going to do our things. I mean, the events, we've got such these great ideas for events, and we don't want to just shotgun them all out there. It's kind of like, let's put some stuff out there. Let's keep fostering it. Let's try to get some attention to it. I mean, you know.
Do you get? Are you...
Last Friday, Fox 31 was here broadcasting in the morning, and it was kind of like that very day. This place was a madhouse. Second best day compared to opening.
Yeah.
And it was just showed me that we just got to get everybody in this area to know that we're here. You know, it's kind of like what you said is you were like, I can't believe this is here. It's just like, I think that's really focusing on the neighborhood and doing some things that make people feel safe, and it is safe, but kind of trying to, you know, get to people know that, hey, we are a neighborhood brewery, and we do listen. I mean, a lot of the stuff that we've put up on our menu board now are purely out of the fact that, what do you like to drink? And it is stuff from even touching back on our homebrew days, and even before that, it's like we wanted to have an amber on there. We didn't want to be that one-hit wonder of, okay, we've got five IPAs right now, but... Yeah. We do some wits. We do some, you know, we do some more of that classic styles because that's important to people because the feedback that we've got from the community is, boy, it's tough going somewhere and they've got five different hazies and how am I supposed to pick between the hazies? And you go, okay, well, I'm going to have two hazies for a little while, but no, I agree with you. That's, you know, you try not to be that one note kind of brewery and that's what we want to be moving forward.
Quick shout out to the pumpkin... Pie spice.
What are you drinking?
Well, this is the natural blonde now, but I did start with the Grammy's pumpkin pie.
Is it tasty?
Oh, it was.
That's your jam.
It was killer. You love good pumpkin beer. It was the right color. It was the right flavor. I like a fall seasonal for sure, and that was killer.
Well,
and everything I've sipped off of your beers when you're not looking.
Yeah, I know.
Sharing the vid has been
exactly.
Amazing.
So, COVID test
not doing that.
Yeah, like I said, they won't test me. They take one look at me and they don't want to touch me with a syringe.
No. What are you thinking in terms of you know, crawlers? In the coming months, you got plenty back there stocked up.
We've got plenty. I mean, a crawling rental company that's, you know, Johan, he's fantastic. He's getting us cans all the time. I mean, it's hard to predict because we're still so new is that you can sit there and sell five crawlers one night, but then, what was it? I had to text him. I go, hey, we sold 44 crawlers last night, so I'm going to need more crawlers soon. He was like, what?
Wow.
But he didn't blink. I mean, you're not running into issues.
He's been hooking us up, and it's been fantastic. I know he services a lot of other breweries in the area, too. So, I mean, we're if there's one thing that COVID and trying to open in COVID has really, really taught us is that nimbleness of, all right, what kind of weird jacked up thing is going to happen to us today?
Yeah.
And let's try to figure it out and try not to spray ourselves with, you know, hot fluids or chemicals.
So. Sounds like a good marriage. Keep the expectations low and the fluids
hot. Yeah, keep the yeah. fluids off me.
Exactly.
Don't get it in your eye.
What are you doing for food? Do you have a partnership with somebody? Like, how does it work?
Abo's Pizza, Malone's Grill.
Malone's, that was, like, fantastic. I mean, that was one of the concerns as we were, like, you know, food trucks, that sort of thing. What are we going to do? I mean, most of the food trucks we talk to, they're like, who are you guys? Yeah. No, I'm not showing up. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
But we reached out to Malone's that is just right on the other side of the church here, and they were like, you know what? We got you. They're nice. Like, you place an order, and they'll deliver it here to the table.
Do they serve beer or wine or alcohol over there? Okay, they don't care.
So they were just, you know, it was more that open arms kind of, hey, we got you. We're excited you're here. And, I mean, they're not even like, hey, we want one of your kegs or anything. Yeah. They were just like, no.
Where are you putting the keg?
Somebody needs to talk to their marketing guy about that because, jeez. I mean, never mind. Don't listen to this.
Where are the kegs going? Where are you on tap?
Where are you?
Nowhere.
Yeah,
nowhere.
He's okay. Not.
Well, I was just wondering. I didn't know if there was some folks around here that have some stuff.
No, not yet. I mean, that's not something that we're trying to push. I mean, maybe one day we'll do that just from a marketing standpoint in terms
of... When I get my kegerator in, I'll let you know.
We have a lot of people who are like, when are you going to sell kegs? And I go, when I can brew fast enough.
Yeah. Right. That's probably the biggest...
spinning hazy over there.
You said...
In 4 months... This is my fourth batch.
Wow. That I
had to do.
Was it fun making that sign of the first time it said sold out? You're like, fuck yeah.
It was cool until I realized that, I mean, you got to understand, we opened with 4 beers.
Okay.
So the first time I put that sign up, I went, oh, fuck.
Wait, we're now we're down 3.
Because it was like a 3-to-1 seller to everything else. And I was like, oh, my God.
You went and grabbed some Keystone.
You're just pouring it into the glass under the bar.
Some Simcoe on top of Keystone.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God.
So you're up to 12, 13-ish. Is that?
13. 13 for luck.
Well, 12 without the...
Well, 13. No,
It looks like you laminated the sold out, so you were anticipating that happening.
Yeah, we're waiting for that to happen. The good news is I'm a lot better. See, you learn. And it's going to be, I mean, we just kicked it yesterday, and it's going to be back on tomorrow. So
just like that.
Huzzah!
Just leave them waiting, right?
Holy shit, I've learned something.
Just like that. Well, in order to keep this thing under an hour, we got to wrap it up. But
Sam's got a hard stop.
I do. I got to go get my kids
from
school.
Got to go ice his ball sack.
Right? Yeah, I do. That too. Yeah, I need to. It's been a rough morning. This is really good beer, by the way. Not
Thank
just
you.
Saying that.
All
that
of it, all
delicious.
Of it so far
you're
has been amazing.
Saying that because I'm like a new guy.
No. You're.
The good news is nobody gives a shit what we say, so we're not really pandering. We just like beer.
If they get to this point in the show, we won. You know.
That's true. If anybody listens this far, that's on them.
This is dropping tomorrow. What do you want to plug this weekend? Anything going on? You got any activities?
Oh my God, a plug.
Tell us about the socials.
Okay. Come in this weekend. Ask Jeff for the clown mask.
Yeah.
Yes. Or the top hat.
Or the top hat.
I get the
Those are both at home next to bed.
The best part is that we...
Next to the bed.
In the 4 months, we've had one, can I talk to a manager? And I totally screwed up. I should have worn the top hat for that one.
No kidding. You need a mustache,
we've
too.
We've told everybody, if somebody needs to talk to the manager, remind Jeff to put the top hat on so that I can just totally play into it.
Then you,
yes, can I help you?
You need a cane, too.
What do you need, Karen? Okay. Jeff, thank you so much. One last cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers. Awesome.
Get up here because this place is fantastic. And this was a fun interview.
Hopefully Jeff will be serving because you get to talk to him. He's not actually as bad as some brewers are. No. Oh,
no.
In and out of consciousness or in and out of the bar?
Because
he can get a ride. Yeah. He's got to be able to get a ride.
Yeah, I'm here if my
Jeff's daughter went on a road trip, so he'll be home on Tuesday.
I'll text her, where are you? She's
he's got
Glenwood Canyon. I'm like, shit.
You're not supposed to get service in Glenwood Canyon.
He's got a cot in the back.
Come on up, ask for Jeff, ask for the manager, ask for the top hat.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Take care. Cheers.